you. Pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I know a lot of you think I'm crazy. I think I'm crazy sometimes. My wife thinks I'm crazy sometimes. A lot of people I hang around with think I'm crazy, but I want you to know I just heard from the Holy Spirit. Just as the opening was playing here, and I was looking kind of, folks, I want you to know this. This may look easy. Doing this show every day, it may look easy. I want you to know this, that when that song plays, hey, pass the salt, and we go live, I have to know in my heart that if Larry doesn't say anything, and if Silver doesn't say anything, and if Trump doesn't say anything, and if nobody says anything, I have to be able to talk for an hour. I always have to prepare it that way, right? And thank God it's interactive and back and forth. I'm not like some pastor standing in a pulpit making you all listen to me for an hour. At least I hope not. But I have to prepare the show so that if what I'm talking about doesn't interest you, I can still carry the show. That's why I prepare videos and all kinds of things. But I want you to know that really, I want it always to be Holy Spirit led. And I was sitting up there this morning. Bob and Tammy Evans are still here. Bob's still working on the cross. Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable what he was doing that cross. But Bob and I prepping my show a little bit, and Bob's talking, and we're talking about what we're going to do for the day. And so in the midst of that is a little bit of confusion. My focus isn't always in the right spot. And then I look down, and it's 20 minutes till 7 o'clock, and said, golly, I gotta go. What am I going to talk about today? I don't even have anything to talk about. And so I prepare some stuff and I put it on there. And I could come down here and say, hey, listen, boys, it's a flea flicker Wednesday, meaning, hey, I ain't got anything to talk about. But I don't do that. Try not to do that. Because I know that if we could throw out a piece of red meat right now, we could really begin to chew on it. So I know we would be okay. But I want you to be aware of I don't want to call it pressure, but it is pressure. When that light goes on, I got to talk for an hour if I had to. So as that song was playing, hey, pass the salt, I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, how do I know it's the Holy Spirit? Because my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. And I heard his voice, and the Holy Spirit said to me, containment, containment. We're fighting a battle of containment, folks. And so I'm thinking of the shows that we've done over the last couple of days. You know, we did the one on Marxism and socialism. And then yesterday we dug into, we did the show on, I can't even remember what it was. But they've been kind of more informative, educational type things. And at the end of the show, I don't know what you guys think. At the end of the show, I think, golly, how do we get this message to everybody? Anybody else feel that way? You ever at the end of the show say, oh my goodness, how do I share this information? That's the battle, see? That's containment. The enemy, more than anything, does not want the dissemination of this information. This show ought to be on every major Christian radio station in America. We ought to be doing this an hour a day on every Christian radio station in America. But we're not. Why? Because there's a battle of containment, see. There's somebody sitting somewhere making the decisions about what they're going to put on the air, and the decisions they're made, I'm telling you, for the most part, probably are not based on their urge or their desire to get out the truth. Anybody who's sitting in any type of editorial position at a radio station or anywhere, a church, they first and foremost always ask themselves this question, not, is it true? This is from the Holy Spirit, by the way. They don't ask the question, is the information true and vital? They ask themselves, what will be the reaction?
Will I lose more sheep?
Well, that's what it is, right? They're saying, golly, if I put this on, what's going to be the reaction? Are we going to lose sponsors? Are we going to lose pastors? Is my phone call going to ring? So therefore, they decide to stay right safe in the mushy middle, and we will never win playing it safe. We will never win playing it safe. Right now, today, in downtown Columbus, Ohio, they are pulling down a statue of Christopher Columbus. Right now, today, they're pulling it down. Now, I could go 16 different directions as I talk about that. People say, well, why? We don't idolize statues. We make human images. We don't. That's not even the point. That's not even.
Exactly.
Question number one, pardon my French, who the hell gave him the right to do that? Who gave our mayor the right to tear that down? Who gave him the right? Number two, who is leading the opposition to the taking down of that cross? Who's leading the opposition? And I can promise you there is opposition, but why is the opposition to taking that cross down? Why are we not winning in the battle? Because what? Containment. There is no vehicle to get the word out.
And Coach, what we need is a Bobby Dufresne moment. Remember Shawshank Redemption? Yeah. Remember he goes into the warden's office and puts on the music? Yeah. That's what we need. Yeah. That's what we need.
That's what we don't have it, folks. We don't have it.
We don't.
Our local Christian radio station, it's just soft. It's how many times can you hear John MacArthur's sermon? Chuck Swindoll. Just Chuck Swindoll and John MacArthur and any other dispensationalist all day long. And then bring in a talk show host at the end of the day who repeats the same bilge over and over. We are fighting a battle of containment. How do we get the message out?
When do people assemble? We're isolated. We got our boundaries between us. We got our denomination. So in these times, in the past, in the Bible and Scripture, when do they assemble? It's after a calamity, usually. It's after some duress that the entire society's under, not just a small group, and then they assemble. Then the containment's broken. It's got to be bigger than the fear.
It has to be.
Yeah, Mark,
hang on a second. Go ahead, Larry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark, you are so right. It is always at the last moment when it's almost too stinking late for anything to be done that it happens.
Well, that's what they're trying to do. So yesterday I had a heart doctor visit yesterday. I had to go to the hospital. I didn't have to go to the hospital. The doctor's office is in the hospital. So I show up at Licking Memorial. By the way, I lost 17 pounds since December on intermittent fasting. It works, folks. 17 pounds. That's pretty impressed with myself. That's 3 pounds a month, and it stays off. But anyway, I walk in the hospital, and as soon as I walk in, I'm not making this up. I thought I walked into TSA. I walk in the door, and there stands this bevy of people. One's got a thermometer in their hand. Another one's got a mask in her hand. And I walk in there, and I stop. I said, have I done something wrong? And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, no, you haven't done anything wrong. I said, well, what's this line all about here? Well, we have to take COVID if you ask people a question as to who said you have to do it, they can't give you an answer. Nobody can give you an answer. They said we have to. Okay, who's they? Who is they? What do you mean they said we have to? Who is they? Because there is nobody has told me I got to put that damn mask on. Who's they? They take my temperature to get in to see my doctor. They got to give me a mask. They got to take my temperature. They ask me 15 questions about, have you had a cough? Have you had a fever? Have you had a bowel movement? I mean, it's like, I said, I just want to go see my doctor.
Deny service unless you have a mark. I mean, mask.
Now, buddy, I'm telling you, conform. And then when I get into when you get somebody alone, they all say the same thing. I know it is ridiculous, but they say we have to. Who is they? Oh, my goodness. So I played the game, and I went in there. And then when I'm leaving, I wanted to keep my mask. They wouldn't let me keep my mask. They said, no, we recycle them. I said, you mean I'm wearing a mask somebody else already breathed into? Oh, we clean them.
Oh, they clean them. With what?
Oh,
do you want me to send you one of mine that I had to wear at Home Depot yesterday? I had people running into counters. My made out of pet screen mask, brother. It's breathable.
I don't want any more masks. I don't care if I ever wear them. Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me reel this back in. I'm telling you, this is from the Holy Spirit. It's containment. In the after show yesterday, was it yesterday? Folks, the after show, I mean, when we go off the air, we stay here. There's 45 people in the huddle right now. Some of us stay here and talk for half hour, 40 minutes afterwards. And in the after show yesterday, JR asked the question, okay, well, what are we doing? And everybody's got their own agenda. Everybody has their own plan. Here's what we need to do. We need to do this. No, we need to do this. No, we need to do this. We need to do this. All we do is talk. Yada, yada, yada. All the stuff is true. All the stuff. Why are they taking down the statue of Christopher Columbus today? Is there anybody in Columbus that thinks Christopher Columbus ought to stay in the city of Columbus? Anybody? Where are they? Because the radio stations won't say anything about it because they might offend somebody. And so for the most part, I would say most of the citizens of Columbus, Ohio, do not want Christopher Columbus taken down. But they're taking Christopher Columbus down. Why? Because they said so. Well, who's they? It's battle containment. And if I could get on the radio in Columbus, Ohio for 10 days, I would have such a furor going on in this city, they wouldn't know what the heck to do with it. So who is fighting against me in the battle containment? The church. Christian radio.
Hey, Coach, what did they say to you when you asked to get on a radio station or for a time? What's their response to you?
Well, the one station, I used to be on that one station, Glenn. I did a Saturday morning show there for about 4 years. And they couldn't handle it, the truth, because I would do the truth. And then the daily talk show host, who's been there since dirt, the dispensational Baptist preacher who does the afternoon drive show, he won't let me on. And so, you know, I've gone to him and tried to buy time. Said, just let me buy a couple hours on Saturday morning. They won't let me back on. It's containment. It's just Christian discrimination against Christians.
What's their reason, though? What are they worried about? They
are worried about the bevy of silent pastors laying out in the weeds that do not want to be challenged. I had the former general manager of the station tell me that. Coach, we are starting to get calls from pastors. See, Christian radio operates on a budget of about one. They only need about 1% of the population to run their little Christian radios, because most of the pastors pay, most of their programming, John MacArthur, he pays to be on the station. So they don't even have to charge. He pays money. And so then they'll run a little bit of advertising. But most of the Christian radio stations, they don't have to really fight for advertising dollars like everybody else, because they're paying to be on the show. You understand?
And I've always so in other words, you're making the pastors look bad,
yeah,
because they're not standing up. So God forbid, should one of their congregation come and say, hey, how come you're not speaking up? This guy in the radio is.
There you go. See, that's the battle of containment. Folks, listen to me. It's happening in your church or your former church. You go to your pastor and you say, hey, pastor, have you heard about Antonio Gramsci? Do you think he's going to give you 20 seconds to talk about Antonio Gramsci? Hey, pastor, I would love to do a Bible class. Can I teach Sunday school, pastor? I would like to talk about Marxism, communism, and how it's crept into America. Is your pastor going to let you run such a class? Or is he worried about somebody not liking it and calling him and he has to answer, so he just would rather not do it? We're just not going to do it. We're just going to, that's controversial. We're just going to stay on the Bible. Yes or no? Roger, you out there?
Hey, Coach. I'm working with my elder, and he just chimed in and said, obviously, you haven't been to our church.
Amen. My church, too, Coach. My pastor's good like that.
But you get my point, right? You get my point.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Just to let the people know how dumb some of the Christians sitting in pews are. I won't say any names or anything right now, but 400 people applauded, if you remember, 15 years ago, when them two pastors said, we have to get that man removed from that radio station. And I sit there, was the only one knew who they was talking about. 400 of them clapped. Remember, I come home that day and called you. I'm like, they all clapped. I didn't even know they was clapping to get fired.
Jeff was in a congregation, and the pastor in the congregation was commenting about me without mentioning me by name. Jeff was in the congregation when the pastor stood in the pulpit and said, we have to get this guy off the air. Yes, Jeff, is that what it was? Got to get this guy
off the air. The pastor and that lead guy from the radio station were both in there.
Yep. Got to get this guy off of the air, right? And so folks, that was 15 years ago, maybe. I don't know how long, 15 years ago. I was right 15 years ago. I'm still right today. And we fight a battle of containment because the church doesn't. The church people might want to hear it, but there's a gatekeeper that is not going to let that come in. Not going to let it come in. Can you imagine some churches having an actual open debate about the baptism in the Holy Spirit?
Hey, Coach.
Can you imagine if they said, you know what, today we're going to talk about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And even though we don't believe in it here in our church, we think you as Christians ought to be informed. And here is what the topic is about. Now, see, we wouldn't do that, right? Because at the end of the debate, the pastor would say, here's what we believe and why. Now, wait a minute. It's why you believe. Don't include me in what you believe, right? Give me both sides and let me make my own decision about the truth. Go ahead, Dale.
Brother, man, my spirit man just jumped right now. I am thinking about Lot when the two angels of the Lord came down to see what was going on in the city. And Lot said, oh, no, just come to my house. You don't want to see this.
Yeah, that's right. Don't look there.
We don't want that truth. No. You just come over here and you teach this, brother. I'm telling you exactly it.
Don't ever forget, you can only teach what you know. And you can only teach what you can do. If you haven't done it, you can't teach it. I'm sorry. I'm watching Bob Evans every day up there putting that cross up. And I'm learning something. Every day he does something. I said, what are you doing that for? And he explains it to me. And I thought, wow, how come I never knew that? How come Bob can do that? He didn't go to college. He doesn't have an architectural design degree. How come he can do that? And see, that's what we've done. And see, you don't fit in your church, in your church leadership, in your church elder board, because you don't have the right pedigree. You haven't been part of the right clubs. And you haven't had the right business, and you haven't donated the right amount of money. So therefore, you don't get to sit in the positions of authority. Somebody say amen out there so you know what I'm talking to you about. It's deep religion, see? Containment. That's why we're losing.
Funny, Jesus didn't fit into his religious system, though, did he?
See? No, he didn't. He didn't, man.
We've gotten away from the organic church.
Say it again, Rich.
We've gotten away from that organic church.
We have.
You know?
Yeah, we've gotten into
it. They met in the homes, and there was no head or person that was in the headship. Everybody contributed as the Holy Spirit gave them the utterance. And
it says everybody had a song, everybody had a word, right? Now we corporatized everything, right? Yeah. Here's Jerry. Jerry's our ministry of music. Here's Esther. She's the minister of small groups. Here's Larry P, and Larry's the minister of men. I mean, it's what?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, it just hit me, and I was, forgive me, friends, if this doesn't apply. If you don't see this, but I call today's fake churches satanic social clubs. Didn't Jesus do it exactly the same thing when he looked at the religious leaders of his time and said, "You are of your father, the devil"? He called them satanic social clubs, by golly. I just now realized that.
Oh, be darn, that's good, Larry. Huh? You know what else, Larry? When the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords walked into the temple and began to read from the book of Isaiah, it said, "This day this is fulfilled in your ears," the corporate church said, "Don't listen to that guy. Who does he think he is?" Remember? Remember? Who's this guy questioning us?
Coach, when Larry said about the social club, I was just thinking about what that cross is going to do when they surround you every year.
Oh, man, huh? Oh, well, somebody said yesterday, Joseph, can't remember who it was, says that, boy, this is going to get the ear of the, what do they call them? The inspectors, the building guys, right? The building inspectors. Oh, they're going to catch wind of that. They're going to want to come around. Yeah, that's probably true, is it? Doggone, it is. But I said every plane that flies in on their approach to Port Columbus, they're going to see that thing. They're going to know that there's a God on sky high anyway. I don't know if there's one every place else. But so anyway, you just heard from the Holy Spirit for about 20 minutes. Containment, fellas. It's containment. And the reason we are where we are, every one of you in this queue, if you tried to go to your church and talk about some of this stuff, the pastor would give you a facepalm. We don't talk about that here. We don't agree with that here. Here, who determines what we believe here? They believe something else there. Are they wrong? Is the information I'm bringing to you, can you deny its truth? Well, of course they can't deny its truth, but they're not an expert on it, so they ain't going there. Oh, that's all right. Ding, 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 ding. I hit a home run. I can end right now. I hit a home run.
We've pedestaled the pastors, brother. They might as well be statues, and they need to be toppled.
Amen. Amen,
Joe. Amen. 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 Hey, don't forget Bobby Lee. What's going on, Bobby? What's going on at Gettysburg this week? Golly, today's the 1st of July already. Hey, hang on, Bobby. I'm going to tell you this, friends, because I love you. All hell's about to break loose. I'm just telling you. You think things are getting better, I'm telling you, they ain't getting better, boys and girls. They ain't getting better.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to tell you, if you're waiting to be evacuated out of here, well, that time may be coming, but it ain't coming yet. I don't think it's coming yet.
You're ready for a spiritual revelation. Yes. I'm telling you, brother, put your seatbelt on. When Jesus read in the scrolls out of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to preach the good news with the brokenhearted and to set captives free," he then closed it. He says, "Today this has been fulfilled." If you go to Isaiah and read the next verse, you will see that was fulfilled. What hadn't been fulfilled yet was the day of the Lord and the vengeance of our God. Man, that chapter is about to be reopened and played out before us.
I believe it is. And that's why, again, July 17th through the 19th, we're having the tactical training here. And folks, you need to register. Please, if you don't register, you have to register. You got to let us know you're coming. We have to know. We got preparations that we have to make. And if you're going to be part of it, please register and let us know you're going to be part of it. Because frankly, we are going to have a cutoff of the problem. I don't want 150 people here. I don't. So it's right there, all hands on deck. It's on our website, July 17th through the 19th. Again, I think we're going to have so many people that I don't have a place for y'all to stay. I have a place for you to camp, to pull a camper, to get a hotel room, whatever. Just make it a one night, coming in Friday and Saturday, although we're doing Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Hey, I don't care how much it's going to cost you to stay in a hotel and travel down here. It's going to be a great, great investment in your life, in future. It's going to be very much worth it. To say that we can't afford it, wow. You can't afford not to. We're not charging anything. You have to live. You have to sleep and eat someplace. That's what we're charging you. Bring your own gun and your own ammo if you want to. It's tactical training. Learn. The police are not going to protect you much longer, folks. They're not going to. And this stuff is going to begin to reach out into the suburbs and out into, you know, like somebody said, I said yesterday, what do you do? What does your wife do when she goes to Walmart? She comes out of Walmart and she gets in her car and she backs out of her parking spot and immediately surrounded by four guys. What does your wife do? Just what? Huh? Call me? Honey, they're here. What? Well, so ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Going to be some good stuff. So we'd love for you to be able to come. I don't want to talk to you. You get it, man. Yeah, please let us know. Please let us know what we're doing. Chad's putting a lot of time and effort and energy into it. And so's Gary. And so's Gary Pierce and Gary Donahoe. And Jamie Walden's coming. And I'm, who am I forgetting? Larry's going to do some. It's just going to be a great weekend. Be a great weekend. So if you can, let us know. Cool. What am I going to crack open? Are there any hotels? Yes, there's a. There's one that is a Best Western. Maybe do I have that on the? Maybe we don't have that. I'll get that up on the website today.
There's a Red Roof up there on the there at the interstate.
There is. It's not the Ritz. I mean, it's the Red Roof.
It's above
sleeping in a tent. If you wanted to, it does, you know, it does. It's above that, but it's not the Ritz. There's a Best Western. It's really close, and there's a we got a brand new, literally brand new. Little Holiday Inn Express. It's open. It's about 6 miles away. So I'll get some of that information up on the website for you. Okay. And I would love for all of you to be able to stay at my house, but it's just not practical that we could do that. Cool. All right. So Coach, what are you going to talk about today? I got 20 things. We, somebody long time ago, don't know where, said that planning to fail is, no, failing to plan is planning to fail. As a football coach, I always entered into a game with a game plan. Game plan. And one of the vehicles that the enemy is using is a little book. That's not really a little book, but a very not so well-known book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Sun Tzu. Hey, Sheldon. Just Google Sun Tzu, S-U-N-T-Z-U, Sun T-Z-U, Sun Tzu. He wrote a book called The Art of War. If you click on that right there, Sheldon, it's Wikipedia. It says Sun Tzu was a Chinese general, military strategist, writer, and philosopher who lived in blah, 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 blah. He is traditionally credited as the author of The Art of War, an influential work of military strategy. And what we don't have on our side is we do not have a game plan. We don't have a war plan. Christians, what is our war plan? Oh, I know. Pray and fast and love our enemies. That's our game plan. Right. And I suppose from a spiritual standpoint, that's good. But how's that working out for us in the natural realm? When we sat around and we watched the left do what has been become to be known as the long march through the institutions. How did they do that? And what are we doing to counteract that? When we know that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, we're not even allowed to talk about it. You walk into a church and you start talking about the stuff that we're talking about, they don't let you in. They don't give you a platform. Well, the left, are you ready? See, Christians will say, well, we win in the end. I read the book and we win in the end. Well, first of all, he does, we don't. But secondly, Sun Tzu says, win now. Win now. Can we win now and win in the end? Well, we can, But we don't want to because we don't think we're supposed to win now. Follow me, folks? We have no plan. The church has no plan. The church sends their children into the government schools where they're trained by. I got some stuff to show you on that, right? The church bends its knee to the edicts of government. Face masks are promoted. Churches take their marching orders from the governor on what they can and can't do, right? And so when the Lord told us that we're supposed to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, the Lord told us that. What do? We listen to the government. What's the government say? Don't assemble together. No. Don't assemble together. But we win in the end. We win in the end. So Sun Tzu, somebody else never heard of, I know you've never heard of him. Never heard of Sun Tzu. And this is what the enemy's doing. Let's do this backward, Sheldon. Let's click on what says 4-minute books. A brief summary of what Sun Tzu's war plans are on how to win a war. Hey, first, we have to admit we're in one. We don't even admit we're in a war. We call it a cultural war. We call it a spiritual war. But for the most part, people aren't. Hey, dudes, you're not actively involved in a war every day. Oh, you think you're involved with it personally and spiritually and in your own prayer life. But the war is breaking up everywhere. So this is a real quick Art of War. It's a 4-minute book, a 4-minute summary. So here's a favorite quote from the book from Sun Tzu. Victorious warriors win first and then go to war. Do you listen? Victorious warriors win first and then they go to war. While defeated warriors go to war first and then try to figure out how to win. It's all about planning, right? So let's read down through this so that you get, you're going to see the left at work here, right? You're going to see the left at work here. Here's a great promotion tip. Whenever you create something where you draw inspiration from someone else, let them know. For example, I always tweet at the author of books I read and write about, let them know I wrote something about the work, and sometimes they share it, yada, yada, yada. Okay, so here are three lessons from Sun Tzu. It's 13 chapters. Here's three lessons. One, only enter into battles you know you can win. Hey, strategy number one, if you can't win, don't go to war. The idea that Christians believe, say, well, the glory's just in fighting and being faithful to the fight. Well, I suppose. But if you can't win, don't get involved in it. Have we believed we could win the battle of abortion? No, we don't believe it. Why? Because we're counting on judges to do it. Winners know when to go fight and when not to fight. Losers always fight and thus often end up losing. Fools enter into battles and then start thinking about how to win. Can somebody say amen? Fools enter into battles and then start thinking about how we're going to win. While strategists know how to win before they start the battle. That's what the left has done to us. They took over the schools. They infiltrated the churches. They got a hold of the movies. They got a hold of every aspect of the culture and knew they were going to win by doing that. See, they've been planning and infiltrating without even going to war. Have you ever thought about the fact that most skilled fighters often avoid battles and that's why they're never defeated? Take Bobby Fischer, for instance, the most brilliant chess player of all time. He instantly retreated after he won the world championship. He didn't play again for 20 years. Why? He wanted to be undefeated. So if you're starting a business, look at that industry first. Can you ever win against your bigger competition? You want to open a little car dealership? Can you beat the guy down the road? Because that's what you're going to have to do, right? And if you can't beat the guy down the road, then is there a special place that you can get involved? Cheapest car, whatever. I don't know, right? Only enter battles you know you can win. Rule number one from Sun Tzu, only enter battles you know you can win. Right? Scroll on down. Number two, deceive your competitors to impose your will on them. What? Deceive your competitors so you can impose your will on them. Sun Tzu says, mask your strength with weakness. Where you are strongest, appear weak. Courage with timidity, and order with disorder. A clever army will not win. A clever army will win not with bodies, but with their minds. Look at what they're doing to us with the coronavirus and the masks and the social distancing and not gathering together in church. Look how they are winning the battle of the mind before they ever put Antifa out on the streets, before they ever put Black Lives Matter out on the streets. They had us wearing masks and social distancing and not having churches. Somebody say amen. Can somebody say amen? Can we not
amen.
See? Can we not see how the enemy is using Sun Tzu's arts of war?
Amen. They are picking. They are picking the liberal cities and states that they know they're getting support. The governor Amen. Is removing money from the police in New York. The yep. people are moving out of New York in mass groves. Amen. New York is about to become a war zone.
It is, Mark. That's why I'm saying it's going to get worse. That's why our tactical training is so important. Stay with me here. Making it seem like you're miles away when you're close to the battle. Make them look like you're far off with distractions or surprise attack in several places, right? Excuse me. So they're trying to, as they're trying to bring communism into America, they attack us with the COVID virus. And then they attack us with race wars. And they distract. They make it look like they're not even close to us. And they're right in our freaking living room.
We're already communist. Or we wouldn't be wearing masks.
No, we wouldn't be wearing masks, right? So making it seem like you're miles away when you're close to the enemy's base with distractions or surprise attacks in several places to splinter opposing forces are common tactics in the battlefield. They are hitting us on multi-fronts. Number three, Sun Tzu's Art of War. How many can raise your hand and say, Coach, I've never heard any of this before. Won't you go to church? You mean your pastor hasn't been showing you what's going on, why we're losing the spiritual war? And wasn't Jesus who said, to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove? I said, what, Lord? Why would I want to be wise as a serpent? And he said, because the children of the devil are wiser in this world than the children of the light. Look what they're doing to you. Lesson three, lead your team as if you were leading a single man by the hand. Eventually, your business or your army will need a team. And eventually, that team will have to grow. But as companies get bigger, they get more complex. Every single human adds an infinite amount of feelings, thoughts, and ideas. See, that's why we argue in here. We don't argue. That's why we discuss in the queue. Because why? Every single human brings an infinite amount of feelings, thoughts, and ideas to the business, and all of those have to be managed. When talking about armies, Sun Tzu says, a skilled general leads his army as if he was leading a single man by the hand. Each one train one. Because we're in a position right now, we're still trying to build an army. We're trying to find the army. Why can't we find the army? Because we're fighting a battle of containment, right? So now that I've laid that out there for you, Sheldon, pull up the video. It's about 4 minutes, I think, on Sun Tzu, on the art of war. I think it's 4 minutes explaining. Folks, these techniques are available to us as well. Come on. Go ahead.
In the age of bloody civil war, 2,500 years ago, a Chinese military commander, strategist and philosopher emerged. His name? Sun Tzu. after successfully defending the state of Wu against its neighbour Chu to the west, a book formerly known as Master Sun's Military Methods was born, which has later become known as The Art of War. The Art of War is the most influential treatise on war ever written, consisting of 13 chapters, each of which is devoted to one aspect of warfare. It has shaped the way in which conflicts have been fought for thousands of years, from the Japanese samurai to the Napoleonic War. Not only has the book influenced military commanders and generals all over the world, it has had resounding effects on politics, sports, and business to this day. The Art of War is of vital importance to the state. It's a matter of life and death, a road either to safety or to ruin. Hence, it's a subject of inquiry which can on no account be neglected. Sun Tzu has a holistic philosophy that if you follow correctly and study thoroughly, you will be victorious. Sun Tzu says, "Avoid what is strong and strike at what is weak." Sun Tzu is a strong believer that winning the war with as little unnecessary combat as possible is the key to true victory. Supreme excellence consists in breaking the enemy's resistance without fighting, and the key to doing so is to know your enemy well. If your opponent is arrogant, pretend to be weak, so he will underestimate you. If he was relaxing, attack and give him no rest. If his forces are united, separate them. Sun Tzu is essentially saying that if you know your opponent's weaknesses and how to exploit them, you will never lose.
So at dawn, the hopeless Athenians do the unthinkable. They attack. They attack the weary Persians as they disembark their ships on shaky legs after a month at sea. They attack before they can establish their war camp and supply their soldiers.
Sun Tzu says, if you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the result of 100 battles. During the mid-1960s, a war took place between the North Vietnamese Communists and the United States of America. Instead of confronting the Americans head-on, the Viet Cong had a different idea in mind. They used unconventional guerrilla warfare tactics, which included hit-and-run strategies. This proved very effective against the much larger military of the Americans. It's more important to outthink your enemy than to outfight him. The Viet Cong forces were inferior to the Americans in both man and firepower, so guerrilla warfare tactics allowed them to inflict significant damage while keeping their casualties to a minimum. They also had unparalleled knowledge of the terrain. This included a vast network of underground tunnels, allowing them to evade carpet bombing and escape the enemy. The terrain was also laced with various booby traps and landmines. Even though the Viet Cong and North Vietnamese were heavily outarmed by the American superpower, they were still able to defeat them as they truly understood Sun Tzu's philosophy. All warfare is based on deception. Hence, when we are able to attack, we must seem unable. When using our forces, we must appear inactive. When we are near, we must make the enemy believe we are far away. When far away, we must make him believe we are near. This philosophy can be seen in the World War II invasion of Normandy, known as D-Day. The British created several fictional units of troops stationed in Scotland who were ready to invade Europe through its northern regions, in particular Scandinavia. They then used several misinformation techniques to persuade Hitler that 350,000 of these troops were primed to attack. Radio chatter in Scotland lit up with talks of these troops preparing for an overseas assault, and many of these transmissions were made easily interceptable. Allied spies who had been able to infiltrate the Germans reported these developments as well, reinforcing their legitimacy. These spies also took photographs of planes and tanks posed for invasion, but these were actually blow-up models in most cases. All this caused dozens of German divisions to go up to bogus locations and wait for an imaginary army to show up, whilst important battles were fought elsewhere. This method of dividing enemy forces was also employed to a greater extent on D-Day itself. Soviet forces kept around 1 million of the German forces busy on the Eastern Front, whilst the Allied invasion occurred on the Western Front. This tactic of dividing the enemy is one of Sun Tzu's key philosophies and allowed the Allies to achieve victory and eventually win the war. Thanks for watching. If you...
Okay, so keeping in mind... dividing and conquering our enemy. Why are we not turning the transgender crowd against the women's movement? Why are we not creating a fight between men who want to run in women's races and women who are screaming for equality. Why are we not doing a divide and conquer strategy against the two of them, right?
We lost the flip, Coach.
We lost what, Jack?
We lost the flip. You know, when they flip the coin, you guys hide in the bushes and shoot, and you guys walk down the street with red suits and X's on your chest.
Right. That's right. That's right. Right. Huh? So we've lost through deception. See, we have lost through deception. I got time. Hey, Sheldon, let's go real quickly. I want people to see something. Hey folks, you can come in at any time. Anytime. I'm trying to give you some weapons in your arsenal. Right? Yes.
Hey, good morning, everybody at Seth. Hey, this Sun Tzu wrote this book with inspiration. Inspiration from where? Who taught warfare? Azazel. Just possibly throwing that out there.
Wow. Okay. Hey, do me a favor, Sheldon. Go to the stuff that I sent you today, July 1st. I can't believe it's July 1st. Stuff. And then down at third from the bottom, it says the NEA platform. NEA platform. Infiltration. Containment. Folks, this is available for anybody, right? So I said this morning, I'm going to Google the National Education Association, Teachers Union, their platform. Because I thought you would think, and I would think, that they would be about teaching kids reading, writing, arithmetic, right? You would think that's about. But all you got to do is just, if you can make this a little bit larger, Sheldon, right there on the homepage, issues in action. What are they concerned about? Human and civil rights. ESA implementation. I'm sorry. I don't know what that is. That's sort of
i.e. homosexual rights.
College affordability and debt service. Education funding. Then some more issues they have are the achievement gap. Affordable health. This is the teachers' freaking union. Career technical education. Charter schools. In other words, how to do away with them. Childhood nutrition, collective bargaining, common core, community advocacy, community schools. Well, now they're getting into a little bit of dropout prevention, early childhood education. Yeah, let's get those kids early. Educational rights and educator tax relief and English language learners and higher easy rate. Green schools and environmental education. Anybody see anything about moral education? Anybody seen values or anything like that so far? No. Green schools, IDA, special education, immigration. What? Immigration. NEA is worried about immigration. International relations. NEA. Teachers Union is worried about international relationship. NEA is bully free. Pensions and retirement. Priority schools, privatization, rural schools, science, technology, engineering, social security. See what we're talking about, folks? These are the 13, people.
13 They're, high schools.
Go ahead, Roger.
13 high schools in Baltimore. 13 high schools in Baltimore. Not one student is math proficient in their state testing. Do you understand that?
Yes, Roger, because that's not the goal of the union.
I agree. But can you, I mean, this is why that particular group of our country, if you can't educate and do math and basic things, you cannot function in our culture.
So, Roger, they do this new math. Why did they do this new math? So that when Joe Silver sat down with his kids or grandchildren to help him with math, it's a new system he doesn't even understand. He can't teach it to his kids because he doesn't understand this new math. Folks! He
wouldn't be able to. Exactly.
13 high schools, not one student proficient in math. at $21,000 per student.
Need more money, don't we? We just need more money.
Nah, I got the third highest score in my regents in my school.
It's because we're talking about, thank you, Linda Studer, government schools. See, they're not public schools, folks. They're not public. If they were public schools, they would teach what the public believes. They are government schools, and their purpose is to change the view of the public. They're government schools, and they want to train your children into following what the government wants you to follow. There's no mention of religion, faith, value, nothing in any of these things we just went through. None. None. National Education Association. Unbelievable, isn't it? And did you know this? I'll just throw this out for you. Did you know that, I got 1,000 directions I could go. You know, when I was a teacher, I was forced to be in the union. I was forced to be in the union. And I told the union, first of all, I don't want your liability insurance. I don't care about it. And number two, there's not one thing that the union supports that I believe in, not one thing. And I don't want to be part of it. But they had what was called collective bargaining. So the courts said, courts said that if they were going to collectively bargain for me, I had to pay my fair share. You hearing these words, folks? These are communist, Marxist ideas. My fair share. So even though I didn't want to be in the union, the government says you have to be in the union. And my tax dollars, I just got my tax bill. I told you about 67% of my local tax property tax bill, 67% funds the local schools, and they don't teach anything I want them to teach.
Why do you think Tesla is considering moving to Texas? Because it's a right to work state. Labor union here.
You don't have to be in the labor union, do you?
To mention there's no state income tax.
Oh. Folks, you see, I'm just trying to open your eyes up to understand that they have been operating, the other side has been operating, according to Sun Tzu, using Sun Tzu tactics, and we're just flailing away. We're not even divided and unified in one area of our battle. Not one. We think you end abortion by appealing to elected officials. We think that's how Sun Tzu would be laughing. He would be laughing at you. Go ahead and keep trying to change abortion through the courts. It'll take you 50 years, he would be saying, and it has. And we're still no closer to it, right? Why? Because we haven't used the proper strategy. There's a very easy strategy out there to bringing them down. You know what that easy strategy is? Tie racism to abortion and we win.
Amen. Amen.
Divide and conquer. Divide and conquer.
The simplest procedure as a sports person, you're the one that would know this. You're the one that would have taught the kids this. When somebody's pushing, don't push back, pull them. When somebody's pulling you, don't pull back, push them.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, our side would probably, almost everyone on our side, or those who claim to be on our side, would probably say, oh, yeah, we believe in unity. Unity is the only thing that's going to work. But the problem is, almost every one of them, to an individual, believes that that unity has to be based on what that one person believes. Everything else, the other people have to come into unity with me, and then I'm all for it. If it requires me to lay aside my personal agenda and help somebody else, well, screw that.
Mm. Hey, Larry, I remember, just popped into my head, I remember we won a really, really big game back in 1990. See, that's a long time ago. But I'm telling you, it was a big game against a team we should never have beaten, with a coach who ended up going to coach at Ohio State University. The coach we defeated ended up going to coach with John Cooper at Ohio State University. And after the game was over, when we beat them and he walked across the midfield and we shook hands, I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, "I've never coached against somebody that's harder to defend than you." And you know what? You know what he meant by that? They couldn't set their defense because they didn't know what we were going to do next. And we scored touchdowns through deception. They thought we were going to run and we threw. They thought we were running right and we countered left. Football is deception. And so he said, when I broke down your films and I watch what you do, we could not get a bead on what you do. That's the art of war, isn't it? It's the art of war. Why are we so bad at strategizing?
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
This is exactly how cyber actors work. They identify your weaknesses, create distractions. They follow this to a T, Coach.
Mm.
There's models based on this for attacking systems.
And it works, doesn't it, Mark? It's Sun Tzu was BC, was he not? I mean, he'd been around, well, 2,500 years.
What does it come down to is the maturity of your defender. In other words, it's a chess game. You see so many moves ahead. That's truly what it comes down to. How do you get good at chess? You play. Mm-hmm. So if you're not exercising your brain to run scenarios and what you would do, what's the counter move? What would he do if I did that? Well, here's a better move. And this is what, you know, Chad, for instance, is trained to do on a police force. You have to anticipate and be prepared for what's next. And that's what it's all about. That's absolutely it.
Amen. So, Mark, the greatest deception, there are a lot of great deceptions. One of the greatest deceptions, apart from the masks and the coronavirus and all that stuff, apart from that, one of the greatest deceptions I have ever seen in my lifetime is the acceptance of Christians of Black Lives Matter. There's absolutely nothing, N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing Christian about Black Lives Matter. Nothing. Nothing about it. Sheldon, click on blacklivesmatter.com.
Hey, Coach, you know what's really weird? These jokers sit there and they're locked in with the Muslims, and Islamic nations still have black eunuch slaves, Coach.
Uh-huh.
Amazing.
So, friends, you want to get a little bit of an education, go to blacklivesmatter.com and just spend a little bit of time on the website and ask yourself this. How could any Christian ever support this? Okay, how could any Christian ever support it? Yet they are. The NBA is painting Black Lives Matter on their courts. Did you guys know that? The upcoming basketball season, Black Lives Matter will be painted on the court. Don't be surprised if you begin to see Black Lives Matter painted on the AstroTurf of the football games. Don't be surprised if you see it. And there is nothing, folks, American nor Christian, about Black Lives Matter, yet churches are embracing it.
It's a trap, Coach. I believe it's a trap. See, I think the confusion comes from this, and you see this in the church, the sympathy of the pastors to sympathize with the prejudice against blacks, okay, and over the George Floyd and how history has treated them. So they're reluctant to say anything about Black Lives Matter. So they use that as a slogan without knowing what that organization really stands for. They get caught in a trap.
Chad Estes would tell us, Glenn, that your emotions will betray you. And so everything they do is emotion-based. You want to shut them up? You want to shut them up? I say this all the time. It makes people mad. And I'm losing friends left. I don't care. They say, "Oh, what? Certainly, you don't think blacks are getting a fair shake, do you? You don't think that the system's against them?" I said, "Well, I know this. Things would be a lot better for them if they just married the mother of their baby. A lot of the problems would go away if they just married the mother of their babies."
Hey, Ben, Coach.
Not allowed to say that, are you?
Coach. My goodness. Stop telling the truth.
Right. Huh? And so instead, we fall in with, "Oh, golly." See, folks, can I tell you the truth? Yes, I can, because it's my show. It's the soft bigotry of low expectations. Deep in our hearts, we've been taught that black guys like Paul Webb cannot take care of themselves. They need us to help them. That's what they taught us.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that I've really been thinking about, when I talk about the some of our during Jim Crow segregation, they had a lot of success because they did things. They made their own schools. They did all this stuff on their own. They weren't sitting there being victims. And that's what's, I think we're just a lot of, I think it's a societal thing. We're mentally weak.
It's a mentally cottage weak. Industry. It's a cottage industry on victimology. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. Man, oh man, oh man. Wake up, folks. Wake up. Wake up. Yeah, Jeff.
Quickly. As you're saying that, I was just thinking that you're talking about the football games and stuff. Most Christians know there's a verse out there about the armor, but none of them had ever been taught how to put it on and wouldn't know what to do if they did put it on.
All right. That's right. So, Jeff, I'm going to put my armor on as I go out into the world today. Black Lives Matter. Well, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.